Well, our guest now is she's a lieutenant commander in the U.S. Navy, stationed at Naval Hospital Bremerton here in Washington State. And she's an OBGYN, actually, there, and delivers lots of babies. And her own personal situation is involved here, too, because she's also pregnant. And well, first of all, welcome, Lieutenant Commander Northup. Great to talk with you.
Thank you for having me.
And so... Well, I guess, first of all, tell us your story. You're a doctor. You're dealing with a lot of pregnant patients, obviously. You're pregnant yourself. And talking about the vaccines, and we hear that, pregnant women, that's a segment of society that's really has a fairly low percentage rate as far as vaccinations.
Yeah, so I am, being a healthcare worker, had the opportunity to actually get vaccinated in the first wave of vaccinations back in December, January. So I did actually get my vaccine prior to the onset of this pregnancy. But it is something that I do try to relate with my patients about their concerns about vaccination in pregnancy. And one of the things that I tell them is that if I wasn't already vaccinated, then getting vaccinated in pregnancy would be a priority for me because I know that it's the best thing I can do to protect my health and the health of my child when it comes to COVID.
And COVID obviously has its, to become ill with COVID has its own complications for, especially in a pregnancy.
That is correct. We are seeing that a significant number of unvaccinated pregnant women are ending up in the ICU on ventilators, getting what's called ECMO, which is a fancy term for a machine breathing for you, not just the breathing machine, but a machine oxygenating your blood and putting it back into your body. And unfortunately, there have been numerous cases reported across the country of women who have not survived their COVID ordeal. And eventually required emergency C-sections with a significant number of even those babies not making it, mostly due to prematurity issues. So
what about, and every mother is worried about what she puts into her own body affecting the fetus, and how can you, I guess, how does the vaccination, how might that affect the child in the mother's womb?
Yeah, so that is actually one of the most common concerns that I end up talking to my patients about. I think it starts with kind of two basic understandings. One, understanding how the vaccine works, and then also understanding how the maternal immune system protects the baby in general. So the vaccine, the one I talk about most is the Pfizer one, since it's the FDA approved one. It's an mRNA vaccine. So what that means is it's just a piece of code that is made to look like the virus, and it's injected into your arm, and the cells around that scoop up that code. And your body makes a protein from that code, like it would with any other code that your body makes for its own proteins. But then the body's immune system recognizes that protein as a foreign substance that it should protect you against. And so it starts making what we call antibodies. And this is the premise behind most every vaccination, is that you introduce something foreign to stimulate the immune system to create an immune response in these antibodies. Antibodies are what the body uses to recognize later that a foreign pathogen or a foreign substance that's bad for the body has entered into the system. And I call it the advanced copy of the instruction manual of how to fight the disease. And so when those antibodies are circulating in the blood and they see the virus or see a bacteria, that antibody attaches, and then that signals the immune system to start destroying whatever is attached to. And so that's the premise, is that we want this vaccination to start creating antibodies against the virus so that when the body encounters it, the body already kind of knows how to start fighting it. The actual viral code that comes, and it's not like a whole piece of virus. It's not any viral particles. It's just that code that makes the protein that looks like the virus. That code starts getting destroyed as soon as that protein is made. So within 24 to 72 hours, that code has been completely removed from the maternal body. It doesn't go to the breast milk. It doesn't cross the placenta. So we're not vaccinating babies through the placenta. We're not vaccinating babies through the breast milk. What we're doing is we're asking the mom's immune system to start creating this advanced copy of the instruction manual. But then the benefit that babies have from their moms is that when moms have antibodies to anything, whether it be flu or whether it be a virus that's in the dirt or anything that she has encountered, if she got vaccinated against the chicken pox as a kid, all of those antibodies that are circulating in her blood cross over the placenta and enter the fetal system. The fetal immune system and the cells that are used to make antibodies and everything is very immature at birth, and so the baby actually relies on having those circulating antibodies from the mom to help it recognize bad things so its immune system can start fighting it off. That's why we recommend the flu vaccine in pregnancy, and that's why we recommend the Tdap, which is primarily vaccinating against pertussis, which is whooping cough, because we want those antibodies to cross the placenta and give baby a passive immune system until baby's immune system starts working on its own.
What would you say to someone who's just in general skeptical about the safety of these vaccines?
So I would say that I understand their concern, for one. We're all skeptical of something new when it comes on the market. But what I have seen is that there have been numerous women who either got the vaccine when they didn't quite know they were pregnant, or they chose to get the vaccine while it was under emergency use authorization knowing that they were pregnant because they made the decision that the vaccine risks were worth it. And thousands of women have gotten the vaccine, and they're tracked through multiple safety reporting systems, both national reporting systems that physicians report complications into, but also the CDC has their V-Safe program where patients self-report symptoms. And then the CDC actually does a very rigorous follow-up of any potential pregnancy-related complications reported in the V-Safe program. And all of the data that's coming out of these safety monitoring systems is saying that the vaccine in pregnancy is safe. It does not increase any risk of anything in pregnancy when it's compared to patients who are pregnant and don't get the vaccine. We're not seeing any increased risk of complications. But then also comparing non-pregnant patients who get the vaccine and pregnant patients who get the vaccine, we're not seeing any increased risk of complications from the vaccine just because the patient's pregnant. And so while I don't have 20-year data on this vaccine, I do have thousands of women who have voluntarily gotten this vaccine, and all of the data that's showing up that is either being reported by medical professionals or by patients is that there's no increased risk associated with the vaccine compared to any other population. But what I do see is that there are significantly increased risks of acquiring the coronavirus or COVID disease in pregnancy. Even in patients who are lucky and have just a mild case, we know that COVID in general, we see the long haul, we see long-term complications, and we see, we're starting to see in the pregnancy data, increased risks of things like preeclampsia, preterm birth. Even in patients who recover from COVID, increased risk of growth restriction in their babies and concerns about the placental function. And so just because it's a mild case of COVID and they want to take their chances, there's still other potential complications with the pregnancy. And what we're not, like, and we've said, like, you see patients in the ICU with COVID, but what we don't see is patients in the ICU with COVID vaccine complications. That's just not happening. We know that of the two things, the vaccine is the safer option if somebody's even just thinking that way.
Okay. Do you feel, are you sensing that your arguments are they being taken to heart by your patients, you know, when you talk to them in, you know, in your office and tell them these things?
I think a majority of my patients, yes. It kind of depends on who I'm talking to and kind of what their opinion is coming in. If it's just some hesitancy about the vaccine and concerns about safety, when I talk to those patients and have the conversation about how the vaccine works, how and all the things that we just talked about, how the immune system works and how it's protecting, it's ultimately protective for the baby. The patients who are just hesitant because they don't know or they haven't gotten the right information, those patients are taking the information very well. And I've had several patients leave my office and go ahead and go get the vaccine. Now, there are some patients who are just have it set in their mind that they are going to refuse the vaccine no matter what. And unfortunately, I can't change those hard set opinions. If they come in just saying, I don't want the vaccine, I'm not going to get it, I don't care what you tell me, I'm bad, I can't change those patients and their opinions. But it's the patients who just don't understand or are concerned about their baby, but they're just, they don't have the medical knowledge, or they've been, the social media algorithms have not necessarily been showing them the most truthful information.
All right. Well, I don't want to keep you from your practice too long. I know there are babies that are coming right and left there. And Lieutenant Commander Megan Northup, she is at Naval Hospital Bremerton. Really appreciate your take on this really important subject and an issue that a lot of people are grappling with. And congratulations and the best of everything to you and your family with your pregnancy.
Thank you.